the apostle's been he's come to this church and speaking to this church, if you will, coming to them in the scripture and the letter that he's writing unto them, talking about, starting off about the choosing of the Lord and how the Lord has brought us, the grace of the Lord in chapter 1, the predestination of the Lord, the sealing of the Lord, the enlightening of the Lord, and just speaking of those things about how he's brought us in chapter 2, about how he's quickened us. We were dead, but he's made us alive. And how that we are saved by his grace, his marvelous grace working in us. About those promises there in the first part of chapter 2 about having raised us up together in heavenly places and in the ages to come. I like verse number 7 of chapter 2, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's going to be an ongoing thing that's going to come about. And going to be done in that day there in eternity when we're with the Lord. And so he tells them to remember, wherefore remember in time past in the Gentiles of your flesh, verse 11 of chapter 2. And then how we've been brought nigh by Christ, we've been brought near by him, the enmity has been abolished, that middle wall of partition has been broken down, and then how he's put us in this household that's built on the foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, there at the end of chapter 2, a holy temple, a habitation of the Lord. And so for this cause, he says in chapter 3, he's been given a stewardship, a dispensation of that grace to them and to us, word, the revelation, the mystery of Christ as it's been revealed, and how it is that by the church, the world is going to be caused to know the manifold wisdom of God, the working of the manifold wisdom of God, that from high to low, from great to small, from weak to powerful, that is being declared, the word is being declared, and the Lord is using his church, his institution on this earth to do that. He wants this fivefold fullness to be accomplished in them. We've looked about that. And then in chapter 4, he beseeches them. He begins to beseech them. And as it is, the parallel that's there between this book and the book of Galatians, he deals with the folks there in the churches of Galatia. He deals with them about foundational things and the things of salvation, how we've been brought. The Galatians had issues that they were dealing with about Judaism coming in and such as that. The church at Ephesus needed to be reminded about the grace of God and the calling of God and the great work of God manifested, or his great love for us, how it's manifested even from eternity past toward us. And what you're going to see in these books is there's going to be a transition from dealing with those churches about those foundational things that are on the front end of these letters. And then it's going to come in, we're going to come into scriptures, we're going to come in to a portion of these books that's going to deal with individuals. It's going to deal with us as individuals. It's going to deal with sanctification issues. And that's something that in studying and considering about the scriptures, how in this chapter 4 we're going to start moving into that thing of talking about things in the church and the doctrine of the church and the operation of the church, that's issues and things that are relative to us as individuals. But then the brother is going to end up the book. He's going to end up the books talking about personal sanctification things. And so kind of lay that there and ask you to watch out for that and consider that as we go. We've talked about, he says in chapter 4 here, he says as a prisoner of the Lord, he said, I beseech you, I'm begging you, walk worthy of that calling, that vocation. And we talked about the unity and saw where he mentions about this unity that is in Christ there in chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. And then in chapter 7, we pick it up this afternoon. And we're going to back up. Let's just back up here in verse number 4. There is one body and one spirit, Ephesians 4:4. One body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's not many different ways to heaven or to be with the Lord, is there? There's one way. There's not many different kinds of churches that you have options for. I mean, that's denominationalism. That's the way man operates. It's a Mr. Cartoon. Mr. Cartoon was on WSAZ Television 3 in my childhood, and on Friday he would wrap up the afternoon broadcast, the cartoon broadcast of make sure that you're in the church or synagogue of your choice Sunday. No, the message need to be you need to be in a Baptist church on Sunday, because that's the only church that the Lord recognizes. And if we say that people that aren't members of one of the Lord's churches are not saved, did I say that? No, I didn't say that. We're accused of that, but I didn't say that. But there is one body, and that's just the way it is. There's one kind of body, and that is the Lord's. And so there is this unity that is there. Now, we're going to see in this, in these next verses, we're going to begin to see the call and the challenge, the charge that we have as individuals. Okay? We're in the body. We've been blessed. We're in this body, Olmsted Baptist Church. But we are living individual lives. We can't live our life one for another. We're living them individually, okay? And so now he's talked about this unity that we have, and now he's going to take out here, and he's going to jump out here in this next portion, and he's going to talk to us as individuals, okay? And our place as individuals, and our pursuit as individual children before the Lord placed in his church. Verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Okay, verse 8. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Verse 9. "Now that he is ascended," this is speaking of Jesus Christ, "now that he is ascended," and this is in parentheses, "what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Verse 10, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Brother Jim, what's that talking about? Let's take a look at it. Let's take a look here and see. Verse 7, "But unto us," he's just referenced about this unity, this oneness, and this unity. And I say that because of the way verse 6 ends up, right? "Who is above all, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Okay? So there is that unity that's there in the Lord that we're called unto, and that one day will be culminated there in the new heaven and the new earth. It'll be done. That unity will be accomplished when the Lord Jesus Christ gives the kingdom back to the Father. Verse 7, "But unto every one of us," individual, you, not your child, not your mama, not your daddy, not your spouse, but to you, to every one of us, okay? What's it say? "Is given," but "unto every one of us is given grace," right? Grace is being given that which we do not deserve, okay? That's the definition of grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, okay? We can measure with the tape, right? We can measure, how is it that we can measure things? We can measure things with tape by as far as length and breadth and depth, right? We can measure by counting. We can measure by weight, okay? So there's a measure to everyone. There's a measure, okay? "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." We've been given everything we've got, haven't we? That's the way it is. You can't pick one thing. You can't pick one thing. I got my good looks because I was... No. We're given everything, aren't we? We're given everything by the Lord. I mean, we're given, we did, as I've mentioned to you before, we didn't petition, fill out applications, or take applications for our parents, what our name would be, where would we be born, the time of our life, the health that we would have. We didn't apply or were involved with any of that, were we? It was given to us of the Lord. The Lord got us started with life the way He wanted to. And now in living life, there is given unto us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's a measure that is given unto us, a measure. And I want us to take a look and consider about this. And we're going to, and he references here, let's go ahead in verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." That's a reference in Psalms, a quote of Psalm 68, okay? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The apostle is speaking here to the church at Corinth about spiritual gifts. And he's dealing with the church about that. He's going to be in the last verse of this chapter, he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Okay? He wants to show them about, rather than speaking in tongues and such as that, that it's best that prophesying and love, love with legs on it, charity, that's the best way to serve and to operate. I believe that's what he's getting at and heading for those things in the coming chapters. But I want us to back up here. Let's get the whole sentence. Verse 8. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." So there's one here that's mentioned that the word of wisdom is given to them. Okay? Who's done that? The Lord has done that. "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." The Lord's working. It's all relative, and this is relative to the body, but it's relative to individuals. So one is given the spirit of wisdom. One's given the spirit of knowledge. Okay, and what he's talking about here. "To another, faith," verse 9, "by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues." Verse 11. "But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit." It's the Spirit of God that is meeting this out, is measuring this out. Any ability, anything that's given is we can certainly refer to it as the grace of God. It's something we didn't deserve. If I have any knowledge in the Scriptures, okay, I'll just use me. If I have any knowledge about the Scriptures, that is that truly is that. It's not from me. It's from God, and it's a grace that's been given to me. Okay? That's why the Lord, if you have any knowledge about the Scriptures, it's not something in this flesh, as we saw this morning, in this renewing of the mind, there is a responsibility that we have to pursue it. But being granted it, it's not something that we've gained for ourselves. It's what the Lord has bestowed upon us. He's done that. We have responsibility and pursuit, but it is the Lord that does give and does grant and does work. We're never off the hook on pursuing. But if we do have a thing, it is from God. We can never say, "Well, I'm sharp in the Scriptures because I've been working hard that way." I can never say that. It's the Lord that gives that. It's the Lord that does, as one example. "But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit." The Spirit of God is working that in all the different members of the body. Okay? And so then, in that working in your life, it begs the question, are you quenching Him? Are you grieving Him? Because I need not be grieving Him. I need not be quenching Him. I need to be gaining ground and make myself and cause myself to be open and receptive and put sin out of my life and work on fellowship with the Lord and communion with the Lord. I need to be working on that. I need to be working on more submission to the Lord in my life that I might be used of the Lord. Because see, if I choose my own way, I won't hear the Lord speaking. I won't hear the Spirit instructing. I won't be able to gain what the Lord has given. and what the Lord is working. And so it's going on in our individual lives. But all these work, that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Because it's the Lord that's got a plan for Olmsted Baptist Church. And what you and I, what we need to do collectively as a church is submit to it. And what you and I need to do as individual children before Him in His church need to submit to it. Are you? Are you? I can't answer it for you. I can only answer it for me. But I need to. We need to be. We need to be submitting to that. And so there is the working of the Lord in our life. And let's go ahead and read verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There are many members, all put together in one body. And the Lord is working and doing that with us and for us and to us in His body. Are we submitting to that? Remember what it says here in Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Are we yielding ourselves to what the Lord has given us? See, remember, the economy of the Lord is what? Is the economy of the Lord the operation and working of God the way you and I think? No. Because, see, it's only God that would say, as I've given the recent example, a woman giving a meal or a cup of water to a minister can have the reward of a minister. She can't ever be a minister like a pastor or a preacher. Okay? Certainly be a witness. But the economy of the Lord is set up that like that. Whosoever will make themselves the least in the kingdom, God says will be, the Lord Jesus Christ said, will be the greatest. Who will be willing to be servant of all will be counted to be the greatest in the kingdom. That's opposite to the economy that we work. Okay? And the Spirit of God is given out what He wants to be given out. He is speaking to His children. He is leading His children. We don't have to pray for the leadership of the Lord. Because the Lord's promised He's going to lead us. Brothers and sisters, what we need to pray for is understanding of the leadership. Because it's coming. The leadership is coming. Because He's promised us He will not leave us comfortless. He will not leave us without leadership. He will not leave us without being reminded of what the Lord has said in His Word. He will not leave us to where we won't be able to apply the Word if we will avail ourselves to listen to Him. Hearing that still small voice. Bringing our petition, our prayer before Him. Seeking His face in all issues and in our individual lives and together in the church. He's doing it. And you know what? In this working in the church, He knows that the body has different needs, and He's meeting things out. Are you receiving it? Are you taking it? You've heard me say, find your place in the church that the Lord has made for you. Find that. If you need help finding that, I'll be glad to help you find that. Okay? Now, I'm not just talking necessarily about a job. A job can be part of that. But if you're familiar at all with what 1 Corinthians, from where we're at here in 1 Corinthians going on forward, he's talking about the body, and he's talking about not being a show-off in the church, but being one that would be a builder-upper in the church, an edifier, one that's going to build up the church, one that's going to be out there. There's a little crack in the church out there working to fix it, you know, in a right good way. There's weakness in the church looking to shore that up in a good and right way, pleasing to the Lord. And so we need to be there. The Spirit is dividing to every man severally as He will. I got a lot to say, and it's hard to say it all at once. Let's take a look over here and let's understand who it is that's doing this. And you know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 3, take a look over here. Look what John the Baptist says about what John the Baptist is saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 34, the disciples of John have come to him with this question of purifying, and then they come to John and they say, hey, that one that you said is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, everybody's going to him and they're being baptized to him. Doesn't that bothers us. They were jealous over John. They loved him. He had been their teacher. He had been the one that, no doubt for many, he'd preached the gospel to them and they had been saved. And in that, in the operation of that, there's just a specialness that's there to those that the Lord used to witness to us and bring us to Christ. They're just, and so they're jealous over him. They love him. And John gives answer. He says, I'm not upset by that. I must increase, and he must increase, but I must decrease, verse 30. And look what he says down here, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. So you know who this is? The other passage that we read over there, in 1 Corinthians, is talking about the Spirit dealing out severally as he will. Well, it's the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saying the same thing when you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing it out, giving it out severally as he will. Okay? Because he's over the church. He's the head of the church. He puts in the church, right, who he sees fit, and he will equip those that he puts in the church as he sees fit. Okay? Because the body has needs, and the individuals in the body will fulfill those needs based on what the Spirit of God and gives. And you know what Jesus Christ, you know how Jesus Christ is limited in ability and given out ability? You know how he's limited? He's not limited. He's got it all. See, he's got it all. We get it in pieces and in parts. We get it for the work that the Lord has for us in the church. And our part in the ministry of the church. But the Lord's got it all. And he knows what's needed. And he dishes it out to us. He dishes it out to us individually so we can have what we need to do what he's called us to do. Okay? So he's not guessing. He goes, well, okay, there's a need over there. Let me get here in the need bag. Maybe this will work. He doesn't do that. Because he knows it's on the inside. Right? And he knows what we need as a church. And he meets that out. But how are we on the receiving end? As an example, when the Lord takes the Word of God and shows you plain and shows you straight what it says and sends that to you by teacher, by preacher, by personal study, by CD, tape recording, on the radio, truth of God's Word, however he sends it to you and me, how do we respond? How do we take it? Do we ball up? Well, if we do, we've got trouble. If we submit, we've got blessing. Okay? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got it all, and he's given it to us as we need it indeed. Look there in John chapter 3, verse 27. And this is the way that it works. Verse 26, John 3:26, and they came unto John, said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. All right? Now you and I that have been blessed for decades to sit under the preaching and teaching of God's Word and his New Testament Baptist Church, how are we doing? It's been coming our way. How we've been doing on sucking it up. Because he's been sending it to us. Brother Jim, I've not been doing too good. Okay. Repent. Get it right with the Lord. Tell the Lord as much. And say, here we go. I'm going to start taking it. Okay? Just go ahead and pick it up now. Because the thing is, being honest, we've all had times in our lives that we've been in that shape. We haven't been growing like we should. We haven't been receiving the Word of God like we should. We haven't been building up like we should. Because we've got things in our lives. Some things in our lives are easy to give up. And I just use that in a way of speaking about it. Some things in our lives we just want to hang on to. If you're a people, that's that way. And may the Lord help us. Because we want to hang on to that. We want to hang on to our, any man that'll save his life, what does it say? Lose it. Any man that'll lose his life, he'll save it, won't he? Yeah, and that's that way in the whole life, and that's a way in pieces of our life. Pieces of our lives. Take a look here in Romans chapter 12. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, is doling the things out. He's given out the things that are needed. And here in Romans chapter 12, let's skip down to verse number 6. Verse number 4. Romans 12, 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we may have a duplicity of things, but not all members, just as an example, are the treasurer. But the treasurer has a Brother Nicky, Brother Mark has Brother Nicky, Brother Doug, to help in some different things, different aspects of that. They all together carry the treasurer load. And then Brother Mark is the treasurer. Okay? But not everybody is the treasurer. Because this is the way the Lord's ordered it and wants it to be. In regards to the, and it works good. And the Lord has given the brethren the things that they need to be able to do that for the benefit of the church. If we don't know about the finances that the Lord impresses upon and impresses upon us to give to the work of the ministry, if we don't know where that's going, we end up with delinquent bills. It's a bad testimony and witness to the region and community, right? All those things. If we don't have so we need to have an organization about it. And the Lord has blessed these brethren with this ability to be able to take care of this for the church. Okay? For we have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, you see that? Gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity and not remind everybody that he gave. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The Lord has given us. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. The Lord is giving to each one severally as he will, according as he is pleased. And how are we doing with receiving it and putting it to use? Or are we stagnant? We don't need to be stagnant. We need to be open and receptive. Now there may be, and I think there's an element about the ministry and about the church. You know, what we're going to there is a sense of what we're going to have here as a church and people in the church is what we're going to make out of it. That's what we're going to have. You want to be all sad sack and have the molly grubs and all that? As long as we come in sad sack with molly grubs, that's what we're going to have. You want to be short on the fellowship and enjoying one another, then get here on time for services and leave right when it's done, and we'll be short on the fellowship. If we have times of different services or whatever, or ministry that we're trying to do things and revivals or special services or whatever, don't come to them, and that's what we'll have. What we're going to have is what we make out of this, what we put into it. That's what we'll get. That's it. So that begs the question: how are we doing in it? How are we doing it? The Lord has given to us to have a contribution. To have a ministry, have a part in it. How are we taking it and doing with it? Amen? And rolled up into this is the responsibility that we have to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and to live for the Lord and be a help and encouragement and witness one to another. And so how are we doing with that. The Lord is providing to everyone, every man, severally as he will. How are we responding to that? In verse number 3 here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You know what? It is a fact that we're not all on the same growth track. That's a challenge to a pastor to be able to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. That's the reason I need your prayer in that. Because we're not all on the same growth track, but we do need to be growing. We do need to be moving and growing. And so it may be that some grow faster than others. It may be that as we get older, we don't remember what we learned before. Those things, we're bound by that. Those things. Those things happen. As we go along, we do forget what we've learned, and we need it to be emphasized and re-emphasized again. But you know what you're responsible for? What the Lord's given you. Or if I may, I think I can say this and be within the Scriptures. You know what you and I are responsible for? What the Lord's given us opportunity for. Let me say that again. You know what you and I are responsible for as individual children before the Lord in His church? What we've been given opportunity for. Because that's the ministering. That's the ministering that the Lord's given. And have we availed ourselves to it? We need to. John chapter 21. We'll give an example of this and we'll close for this afternoon. Why is this here? Why is this here? Because we need it. Because I need it. I find it interesting that this account is here, but we need this account to help us. In John chapter 21, verse 15. Here at the beginning of the chapter, John chapter 21, verse number 3, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing." This is going to be the third time that the Lord Jesus Christ shows himself to the disciples, right? Isn't that what it says there early in the chapter? This is the third time. You know, I just saw that here recently, or if I ever knew it before, I'd forgot it. Okay? I mean, it's just truth day. But I saw that. So you know what? What are the other two accounts? The first account was on the Sunday, the first day of the week when the Lord appeared to the church. Because we know that that's right after His resurrection. That would be the first time He appeared to them, right? And what's the second time? 8 days later. And that was at Jerusalem, right? Right, brethren? So if this is the third time, then this was after, this is sometime after that first week that the Lord, after the Lord had raised from the dead. So the point is I had never seen it this way, but these guys loaded up and went home. There was a time there after that, the first Sunday, the second Sunday, right? That's when Thomas came, said, "My Lord, my God," when the Lord said, "Okay, Thomas, go ahead. Stick your fingers in there. Stick your hand in the side." And Thomas, he didn't bother with sticking his fingers. And he said, he got down on his knees, "My Lord, my God." And he says, "Okay, I believe. And the Lord said, there's a blessing there for those that haven't seen him and yet believe. So this is in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. And these Simon Peter and these others are there with him, and he says he goes fishing. They go with him. He goes back to what he's comfortable with. You know the account. And the Lord, they fish all night. The Lord, they don't catch a thing. The Lord is on the shore. He's cooking food for them. He tells them to throw the net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and they pull up 153 fishes, and the net didn't break. And the indication I think that John's given us is the net should have broke, because John knows about nets, right? And why didn't the Scripture just say 150 some? Because they were amazed that net could handle 153 fishes. That's the reason they counted them. It was they couldn't comprehend. They get to the bank there, and the Lord says, "Come and dine," and they wouldn't ask him in verse number 12 who he was, because they knew it was the Lord. And verse number 14, now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So there's that, what I was telling you about earlier. The Lord deals with Peter and talks to him about feeding his lambs, feeding his sheep. He's talked to him about self-sacrificing love. And Peter says, "Yeah, I'm your friend, Lord. I'm your friend." And then the Lord said the third time, said, "Peter, are you my friend?" And Peter was grieved because he said, "You're my friend," rather than saying self-sacrifice and love for me. So, okay, Peter, you don't want to be committed? Okay, are you my friend? And Peter was grieved by that. And the Lord told Peter what he was going to do and the death that he would glorify Christ in. And Peter says, "Lord, what shall this man do?" You know what you're responsible for as an individual child before God? What you're responsible for is the opportunity, the call and the opportunity that you've been given. That's what you're responsible for. That's what I'm responsible for. The call and the opportunity given by the Lord. Peter says, "What about John?" The Lord says, "Follow thou me. Don't worry about John." Yes, the Lord gives gifts and grace and the measure of the Spirit to individuals in the church as He sees fit for the edification and for the working in the church that's necessary. But may God help us. May God help us that we never be jealous of each other and what the Lord's done. And may the Lord help us that we always be striving to hear that leadership of the Lord and see what the Lord's doling out to us, that we would receive it and be used of the Lord and what He's called us to do. You're responsible for what the Lord has called you to do and the opportunity that He has given you. That's it. Meet that. Pursue that. Strive for that. Ask your Savior to help you in that. And He will be well pleased with your service. Now, I know we're not perfect. We have sin in our lives. We've been given a way that we can deal with that, right? Ask for forgiveness. We have failure and lack of ability. The Lord's given us a way to deal with that. Doesn't the Lord give wisdom to those who ask? He gives liberally. He doesn't say, "What are you doing here, punk? Get out of here." No, He doesn't do that to us, does He? He gives liberally. He likes to be asked. And He loves to give. And we need to avail ourselves to it in the Lord's service. Verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. And then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" John talking about himself. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" And Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Pray for your brother and sister. Pray one for another that the Lord will help us in the calling and the meeting out of the Spirit and the grace of God and the place in the church. Pray one for another that the Lord would help us, each other. I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. We need to pray one for another. We need to challenge one another, provoke one another to good works, right? But we need to realize that I can't be you and you can't be me. We need to be what the Lord's called us to be, and fill that. And that's when we will have done what the Lord wants us to do. And it'll be good. You know what? When we have that singleness, Lord, what do you want me to do? And not trying to be like somebody else. And I know there is witness that we have one to another, and there's an encouragement in that. Sometimes when I'm doing wrong and I have a witness of my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a condemnation. It's that way. And that is there. But the Lord has called us as individuals in His church, in His body, and He's meeting out to us severally as He will. And how are we doing with receiving it? I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to try to be clear as can be. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." The only gifts that you're responsible for are the gifts that have been given you by the Lord. How you doing with them? How you doing with them? Do some soul searching. Get honest with the Lord about them. I'm not saying I know something about you that others don't know. I'm not even going there, not even thinking that. I'm just challenging. Get honest before the Lord. Are you doing what the Lord wants you to do? Are you? Are you doing what the Lord has called you to do? "But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith," this is this reference in Psalm 68, "wherefore the Scripture says this, that when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive," we'll talk about that next time, "and he gave gifts unto men." Not only the gift of salvation, not only the gift of baptism and being in one of his churches, but everything else that we have been given to serve him back with. Now, that's bad English, but to serve him with. To serve him with. It's a gift. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord in his church. It's a privilege to be able to serve him as his child. It's a privilege. The world would have us believe that it's a indentured servitude. But it's a privilege and a blessing and a joy to have been set at liberty to be able to serve God, from whom, before I was saved, I was estranged. Mm-mm-mm.